Hello and welcome to the broadcast. Today we continue in our series on looking at some people in the book of John. Today we're going to focus on the woman at the well. Stay tuned. Today we look at the story in John chapter 4, the woman at the well. It was a very uncomfortable day for most of the people in this story. The disciples were uncomfortable. Jesus said we must needs go through Samaria. Now the Jews never went through Samaria if they could help it. They would cross over the river and go around the long way to get away from Samaria. No self-respecting Jew went through Samaria, and the disciples are no doubt whispering, what is happening here? Why are we going to Samaria? Did we sign on for this? I thought he was going to be the Messiah, the King. We were going to have thrones. What's this about we must needs go through Samaria? And I'm sure Judas Iscariot was wondering at this point if he had made a mistake in signing up with this group, because he was in it for the monetary reasons and one of those thrones. Well, all of them were concerned about going through Samaria. In fact, didn't Jesus say, go not in any city of the way of the Samaritans? What are we doing going to the Samaritans? Not only an uncomfortable day for the disciples, but it was an uncomfortable day for that woman. She's on her way to the well to get some water, and she meets all these men, Jewish men, on the pathway as she's coming on her way to the well. And then she gets to the well, and here's this Jewish man sitting on the well, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. In fact, they hated one another for the most part. It was a very uncomfortable day for the disciples. It was an uncomfortable day for the woman. And it was also an uncomfortable day for the Lord. The Bible says he was wearied with his journey. Uncomfortably, we're talking physically here. It was hot. It was a noonday sun shining down. He asked for a drink of water. Listen, if you're going to get involved in the Christian life, and some people have foolishly said that it's a crutch, it's no crutch. If you're going to sign up for this, you're signing up for not a recreation room, a battlefield. The fight is on is the introduction that we use for this program. If you think it's a comfortable life, ask Noah, ask Abraham, ask Moses, ask Paul the Apostle as he went through his life. It's not a comfortable situation. Jesus spent 33 and a half long, homesick, uncomfortable years in this sin-sick world. However, as a Christian, if you've been a Christian very long, you can sing along with this song. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leadings of his word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
I'm reading in John chapter 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, as we mentioned, the disciples are wondering, what are we doing going through Samaria? After all, back in Matthew 10:5, in the same timeline here, Jesus said, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any of the city, into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. And then in Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, remember, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Why did Jesus say, don't go to Samaria, and then he went? Well, we need to keep in mind, all the way through this portion of time, there are two distinct messages being preached. One is, whosoever will, the one that was preached to Nicodemus, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That message is a message of salvation. The message that had to do with not going to the Samaritans was the message of the kingdom, a literal kingdom that Jesus was announcing that he would set up on this earth. Now, we know that they rejected him. We will not have this man to reign over us. They crucified him. And after the tribulation period, we're going to find that 1,000-year reign of Christ will be set up. However, it's very important to understand that during that period of time, two messages were being preached. One was the message of salvation. One was a message of the kingdom only. When we mix these up, we get some ridiculous situations that are not scriptural. We need to be very careful to rightly divide the word of God. Well, we said no self-respecting Jew went to Samaria, but we read here in verse 5, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, he was wearied with his journey. Once again, 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Well, Jesus was doing some well-doing here, and he was wearied with his journey. Well, there's a different Greek word here with being wearied with his journey, and what Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 3 when he said, be not weary. Be not weary in that verse has to do with losing courage. Jesus did not lose courage. He was physically tired. And it's so interesting to know that it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and 15 that we have a Savior who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows what it's like to be tired. Verse 6, we have a weariness of the flesh here. He was wearied with his journey. If I have anything in common with the Lord, it's that. I'm weary with my journey. Oh, I've not lost courage, but as I've mentioned before, now I'm 77 years old. I wake up in the morning, usually get up around 4 o'clock in the morning, but my body says, you go ahead if you want to. I'm staying right here. And I said, no, you're coming with me, whether you like it or not. But the longer you go along the trail, sometimes it's, well, you know, the disciples weren't in their 70s, but they were wearied with their journey. We find back in the Old Testament that when they got out into the wilderness there after they left Egypt, that they were discouraged with their journey. No, that's what it's talking about here when it says, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Don't be discouraged in your journey. Discouragement is something we have to decide to be. Nobody can make me discouraged, and nobody can make you discouraged except you. You have to decide to let it happen. And so anyway, we see that he comes here. It's the sixth hour, it says in verse number 6. It's high noon. It's very hot. He is weary with his journey. Now, in order to understand the situation, we need to go back and look at a little bit of history concerning who the Samaritans are. We need to go back when God's nation was a united nation under King Saul and King David and King Solomon. However, after Solomon's death, the kingdom was divided. We had Israel in the north and Judah in the south. Israel, all of the kings in Israel in the north were wicked. The capital of the northern kingdom was Samaria. Samaria is mentioned 124 times in the Bible, only 12 times in the New Testament. The word Samaritan is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament, and Samaritans, plural, is mentioned 7 times. Now, they established their own temple, and they had their own priests, and they were intermarrying with heathens, as God had commanded them not to do. God sent prophets to steer them back on the right track, such as Elijah and Elisha and Amos, but they ignored these prophets, except for a very small remnant. And as a result of that, they ended up in captivity in Assyria. At the same time, Judah, the southern kingdom, which was smaller, had some good kings, but soon one leader after another turned away from God and went the way he wanted to go. God sent prophets to them as well, and to them came Isaiah, Jeremiah, Joel, Micah, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. However, they ignored these prophets, except for a very small remnant. We read back in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 9, except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Well, they went into captivity in Babylon, and Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. The Jews in Babylon were allowed to return to their homeland after 70 years of captivity, and Ezra went back, you remember, and the temple was rebuilt, and Nehemiah built the walls. And so by the time we get to this story here that we're looking at in John chapter 4, there had been centuries of animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans. You remember the story in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we read, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And so they didn't want anything to do with him. The Samaritans had nothing to do with the Jews. The Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. Well, you remember the story, verse 54 in Luke 9 says, "And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them.' And they went to another village." Well, in verse number 6, we read that this happened at noon. It was about the sixth hour. It's interesting. This story takes place at noon. The story of Nicodemus, which we looked at in a previous message, took place at night. Well, it was not the usual time to draw water. That was not when they came for water. Usually the women in the city would come out early in the morning when it was still cool, and they would get the water then. But this woman of Samaria was a very immoral woman, and no doubt she wants to come when there would be nobody at the well. However, there was somebody at the well, and that was the Son of God. Now, it points out here, interestingly enough, that it was about the sixth hour. This was no accidental meeting with the Lord. I can look back to October the 7th, 1955, at about 8:30 in the evening. It was no accidental meeting that I had with the Lord and when I received him as my personal Savior. And there comes a time in everybody's life when they have the opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. Verse 7 said, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, 'Give me to drink.'" Interesting. He spoke the first words in this account. If we go back to our story that we looked at with Nicodemus, Nicodemus spoke the first words. Well, it says here that the woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said, "Give me to drink," for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now, once again, it's an uncomfortable situation here for the woman of Samaria, and as she met those disciples going into the city, I imagine that was uncomfortable for everybody at that point as well. Well, saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Now, the first thing out of her mouth is, "How?" That's what Nicodemus said. How can these things be? Well, this woman of Samaria, it says that the Jews had no dealings. Now, to have a dealing is a personal connection or association with someone, or the activity of buying and selling. And all of this is going on in this story. The disciples are going into town to buy from these Samaritans. Jesus and this woman are dealing with one another. I can't help but wonder what her tone of speech might have been as we go through this story. Well, in verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Interesting. He would have given thee. He said, "If thou knewest the gift of God." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved."
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. The stain that we cannot hide, what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God. That is greater than